Okay, it is October 8th, 2022. Ward Green here. The time is 15:38 hours. I got very little sleep. I wanted to make this video right now because it's getting later in the day, and even though I've just barely gotten out of bed. And I didn't get all that much sleep. It's hard to say. But, I mean, I went to bed early last night, and then I woke up at 1 or 2 in the morning. And then I went back to bed at some point. I forget what time that was now. I don't recall what time. Or maybe I didn't even check what time it was I went back to bed. Oh, yeah, because I didn't do my teeth the second time. I did my teeth before I went to bed the first time. So I haven't done my teeth since the second time. I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and ate something, and I didn't do my teeth since then, but that's okay because I chewed this xylitol gum. But I want to make this video because I've done some research yesterday. I did quite a lot of research, and this is Psalms 8 today, little children, and it's Ecclesiastes 8. Yesterday we learned some interesting things. About how it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house. What was it called? The house of rejoicing? What's the other name? It's better to. Ecclesiastes 7. To the banquet house. Right. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the banquet house. It's better to be grieving than to be celebrating. That's one, what it could say. That's one way of a different. That's another way, but that's one way to put it. It's better to be grieving than rejoicing. So that's a different way of understanding things from the way people often think. In the world around us, people are always looking to, and I'm always trying to stay positive and keep rejoicing. I mean, everybody is, I think, it's not so much the world, although there is that mentality in the world about rejoicing or trying to eat and drink intoxicating liquor and all of that. That's part of the world, or it has been. Up until, let's say maybe, I'm not sure what year it changed or when. Maybe people are somewhat less hedonistic nowadays than they used to be because of technology. But let's not go there yet. Let's not talk about that. let's not get into that. I haven't not eaten yet. I haven't done anything. I don't know what my throat is doing. It's just a little bit. My allergies are great. I have no allergies, which is phenomenal. That doesn't happen. It hasn't happened recently. I had some foot powder on my hands, and I hope I didn't rub it on my face. Hope I don't have foot powder somewhere on my face now, but I can smell it on my hands. It's very good organic foot powder. I want to order some more of that when I order something else at the same time from the same place I order things online, which is everybody's familiar with Amazon. I love being able to. I really believe it's important to not rehearse these videos, because then I can relax and speak my mind, and and just well, that's about it, I guess. I can relax and speak my mind. What else is great about not rehearsing? Well, yeah, I mean, it's more honest. Yeah, that's what it is. It's more honest. That's the other thing. That's definitely the other thing, right? There are probably a lot of aspects to not rehearsing. But what I wanted to talk about was the work I did yesterday. I was working long and hard. But I didn't work till late because I was up early in the morning yesterday. So for me, it was early. I was up about 8 o'clock or something, or I'm not sure what time, but I got up early. I didn't start recording till 10, so but that was early for me too. So maybe I was up at 9 or 10. I probably started recording fairly soon after I got up. I don't know, but I had been getting up more like about noon or later. So I'm trying to get on an earlier schedule. So I've shifted it back. I've shifted without being too precise. I shifted it back into earlier in the morning, and then I needed to go to bed very early last night, so I did. I went to bed maybe 10:30 maybe or something, and then I woke up at about 1:30 or so. Maybe I got 3 hours sleep. It's possible. That's possible. But I don't have any certainty about these specific times that I'm talking about. I didn't try to write them down, so I don't know what time I went to bed or what, but not precisely. But I know it was after 10. And I know I got up before about 1:40 or so, or I woke up about 1:40. That's all I know. And I finally got up and ate. And I had two matcha tea lattes and a bowl of yogurt with pineapple. I mean, I ate a lot of food, a lot of dairy. And then I took my vitamin K2 because my fingers were getting arthritic just from eating that calcium. And that solved the issue of the arthritis again. As soon as I had the K2, it solves that problem. So the thing I researched was I've been finding out these interesting things about these cameras. I'm trying to find out or to buy or to look into buying. I'm trying to find out how much it costs, but not just how much it costs, how I can use a cinema camera, a video camera or a cinema camera, it's called, so that I'm not limited to how many hours I can shoot or how many minutes I can shoot video before the camera will stop automatically. So if you want to buy a camera that doesn't stop automatically, you have to get a camera that has that feature, or buy a cinema camera, which most of which are all of them, I believe all of the cinema cameras are going to have that endless shooting feature where they don't stop shooting unless you stop them, or unless you run out of card space, or internal storage. If you run out of storage, it will stop, right? It will stop recording, and the other or the battery runs out. So, but if I'm going to be using it plugged in, it's not the battery. I want to use it when it's charging and plugged in most of the time. So if I'm using it like that, when will I run out of memory? Well, I just have to make sure I have enough internal storage or SD card storage that I can store. If it uses SD cards, and some of them don't, I have to find out whether they use SD cards. I have to find out what's the biggest SD card I can get to use with it. And I have to find out how much space different video requires. Like how much space 1 minute of 4K 60 frames per second occupies. How much space that takes. Or 1080p, how much speed, which is full HD resolution, how much space does a minute of that take up at 60p or 30p, which means frames per second. But I mean, I don't know these details, but it depends on the camera and how much well, I mean, once you know the resolution, how many bits too, depends how many bits the color is. For each video mode that you're shooting. So, yeah, but these things have to be figured out exactly before you buy something, or else you're going to be stuck with something that doesn't do what you want it to do. If I want to shoot 1 hour, then I got to be sure that my card can hold 1 hour, or probably preferably 3 hours or something, so that I've got lots of leeway. But the other problem is these cards or these cameras stop shooting if they're not cinema cameras. Often they do. Some of them, like the GH5 and the GH6, they don't stop shooting. And that's not a cinema camera, I don't think. And also, some cinema cameras don't allow you to take still photos. You have to be aware. I have to be aware of that if I'm buying one. If I want to take still sh shots or still photos, And if it's a cinema camera, it's going to be maybe a box. It's going to be too. It's not a compact camera. I need to compare the different sizes of cameras. One moment. Un momento. Okay, I just need to turn on the heat. I needed that. So if I'm doing video, this is okay. What do you think? Not too bad. Okay. If I'm shooting video with a camera, that's okay if it's a box, but if it's too big for shooting still photos, that's not going to be, or if it's cumbersome, I won't want to use it for still photos. I don't want to buy two cameras. I want to buy one. So I need to investigate all the options and find out what's, I like the idea of a cinema camera. If I can figure out whether I'm ever going to take still shots, if I'm never going to take still shots, or maybe I can take still photos with my phone or something. But if I'm never going to take still photos with the camera that I buy, then that means I can focus on cinema cameras, possibly. But there's another huge problem here, which I didn't realize when I first started researching this, and that is cinema cameras, or even digital SLRs, or these other mirrorless cameras, which are digital. They're all these cameras are digital. They store things internally on a card in a digital format. But the problem is that none of them can connect up to your, or none of them are guaranteed to be able to be used as a webcam or to be able to plug into a Mac computer or any computer either. Some of them can use Windows and some can't use Mac, for example, but to use it as a webcam or to be able to use it in QuickTime as my QuickTime movie camera, so I can shoot with a good camera and have my face on the screen with good quality instead of lower quality. I'm not sure I need that. I'm not sure I need this at all, right? But having a better camera is something I need to investigate, okay? And okay, this brings me to another point. It doesn't matter whether I buy one. I don't need to buy a camera. I mean, it's not absolutely necessary that I decide to buy one. I need to research it for the following reason. Number one, I haven't researched cameras for years. And the last camera I ever bought, which was an SLR, the last camera that was a professional kind of camera, was an SLR that Minolta made, the X700, which was an analog camera using film. And I never brought myself up to date with the digital media until now. That was a long time ago, very long time ago. Probably a lot more than 20 years ago, probably. So, I mean, I know a lot about aperture size and all that stuff. Okay, I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is you have to know about all the expensive lenses. It's huge. The lenses are hugely expensive. I already knew that from before. That's not changed. The other problem is they don't come out with new models very often in the camera world either. It's not like computers. They're not coming out with new models every day. So I was able to get away with not updating my knowledge for one thing because of that, but for other reasons I wasn't using the camera technology. So, but by researching all of this, I'll be able to decide when do I want to move into that field or that space of buying a camera. When do I want to get into that again? Like when is the time to buy a professional camera? Or if I don't think I want a professional camera necessarily, but a really good quality camera. When the amateur cameras become so good that they're like professional cameras, you know, or very close to it, then maybe I should buy one if it's inexpensive. That's what I'm thinking. And by inexpensive, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, right now I'm looking at $10,000 is even a possibility, but I'm not really going beyond above that. But why would I buy? I mean, I can't justify it, because $10,000 would be, it's going to be, whatever you buy is obsolete in the next couple of years. So why would you spend so much money? That's why I wanted to do everything with my phone. Once I got a phone, I realized, well, I can make movies now better than the movies I was making with my Panasonic TM900. HDC TM900, actually, it's called. I found out that, I realized that yesterday. I looked at it again yesterday and found that and discovered that that's another slight part of the name. But anyway, The phone serves as a camera. I've got my laptop camera that I'm using now. I've got my iPad camera. I've got two iPads, so I have cameras. And I have my Panasonic TM900, so I have a lot of different cameras. So why would I buy another camera? It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Except that it would make my work look more professional. That's the only advantage, really. And that's not really, I mean, whether that's important or not, that's just outward appearance. That doesn't have anything to do with the content. But I want to keep up to date with the technology because at some point somebody will probably produce something that is inexpensive. But the problem is this: you can't use it as a webcam because they don't make it to be easy to use. They don't. It's like it, you know what it's like? It's like the problem with what happened to television when the internet came along and television did not move forward, and they didn't get together with the internet people and say, let's make a TV that's interactive. They never did that. I mean, I don't believe that that exists. And I mean, there's still television that's separate from everything else. If you want to buy satellite TV, you don't. Yeah, they gave you some interaction, I guess. With it's not like it's all one thing. The internet and TV is not all one thing together, which it should be, or could be. But they never did that. They never integrated television and the internet. That's what it's like with the camera world. They're still going on their own path where the cameras are just totally separate. They never interface them with the computers. You have to go, they have to write, like they come out with these updates, and now this camera can be connected to your computer after they sold the camera to you a few years before. There, it's not, it's ridiculously cumbersome and difficult. It's not seamless like it should be. So you should be able to buy any camera and connect it to any computer, especially Macs, but any computer, I say especially Macs because Macs were always intended for graphics design. That's what they were designed for originally. The very early Macintosh was the what you see is what you get, graphical interface. That's what it was, the GUI, the graphical user interface that was very user friendly. And it was, you printed out on those early Macintosh exactly what you saw on the screen, because Apple designed the printers for that purpose as well. But Apple was the first one to really get into that, and then Steve Jobs took it further with the what's it even called? I can't remember the name of that port, the Fire something port. What's it called? Fire, FireWire, is that what it is? FireWire, I think, right? The FireWire port was the precursor to the Thunderbolt port, but Intel developed the Thunderbolt port, I believe. I think that's right. But anyway, Apple adopted that. But the FireWire port was prior to that, and Steve Jobs was a pioneer with bringing that into the Mac computers and other, maybe other Mac devices. But he was a pioneer in developing the use of the FireWire with computers, so that you could do graphical work from, you could plug in and work with cameras with the Macs. So that was years ago, obviously, because Steve has departed some time ago, but quite a while ago now. But still, these new cameras are not designed to interface with computers at all, as far as I can tell. And if they are, it's more with Windows computers, but in some cases, not with Mac. But I think I think for the most part, they're equally Mac and Windows, but they're not designed to interface easily. Like, I should be able to just plug in any camera and say, I want to use that as my QuickTime camera, and instead of the one that's built into my computer. There's no reason why that shouldn't be already the case, and it's not the case. So I can't even buy it because I want to use it as my webcam, or my, in place of my laptop cam. I want to put this new camera in place of the iPad camera, not iPad, the MacBook Pro. Did I say iPad before? Yeah, I probably did say iPad. I meant the. I'm not using my iPad, I'm using my laptop. I did say laptop, but the MacBook Pro, the M1 Max, MacBook Pro, the camera that's built into that, I want to be able to substitute a different camera for that camera. So that's what I've been trying to figure out. Can I do that? What camera do I have to buy? I want unlimited recording time so that it doesn't stop after 30 minutes. And also, it can't overheat. A lot of these cameras overheat when you do high resolution, when you do 4K video, they overheat. Maybe that's only a problem when it's a warm room that you're working in, or a warm space, or a warm, outside in the sun. I'm not sure when they overheat, but these cameras can overheat. And that's a common problem from what I've seen. You can't buy, I'm not going to, I can't buy, a, I won't buy a camera if I think it's going to overheat. And so that's a huge number, there's a huge number of issues with trying to buy a new camera. Huge. I'm not saying I'm ever going to use it for 4K either. I don't know that. I might use it, I might only shoot full HD 1080p, at 60 frames or 30 frames or whatever. I don't know what I'll shoot at. I don't know exactly what I'll use it for, but I'm not going to buy a camera that can't use its own capabilities because it overheats. I mean, that's anathema to me. It's horrible. It's horrific, shocking, ludicrous engineering to think about, to even consider buying something that's like that, let alone building it for the people who built it. That's more unspeakable, but. I just can't, I can't, I'm not impressed with the current state of things in the camera world at all. I'm not impressed at all. It's unimpressive. And there's a billion different standards of ways of designing and building these things, and everybody's doing it their own way. So you have to read everything you can find about every different thing you're researching, and it's hopeless. I wouldn't say hopeless. It's the only advantage is it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to learn a lot of things because nobody has it figured out. That means you can research and read a lot more, but that's not really much of an advantage if you're trying to save time. At least I have the DOF simulator online that I can simulate these different things. So there's something called Micro Four Thirds lenses, which are designed for Micro Four Thirds cameras, which have a smaller sensor. Then I think it's smaller, isn't it? Yeah, so the lens sits closer to the sensor because it's smaller and everything. That's it. I don't know. I mean, there's so many different names for all the different things. You have to know what they mean. You have to know whether these lenses will fit. Like, there are other cameras that are designed for the EF lenses and the EF Canon lenses, Canon EF lenses. Those are the most widely adopted lenses anywhere, in the industry. Like, so if you want, it's better to buy a camera that uses EF lenses because then you can always get a lens for it. Almost all, you get many more different types of lenses, and you have more choices in the lenses you buy. I don't really want to buy a lot of lenses either, right? So, but that's still something to consider, that you want to be able to buy a lens. So. And these Micro Four Thirds lenses are fairly new, and I don't think there are a lot of options for buying those lenses. You can buy a camera with a lens that comes from the same manufacturer. The Panasonic I was looking at, what was it? No. What was the one I was looking at? That's not a Micro Four Thirds, is it? I can't even remember. There was one that I was, I think maybe it was the GH6. The Panasonic GH6, possibly. Is that a Micro Four Thirds, though? Well, I can check. I can. Yeah, I should be able to do something with this. I could check camera model. I'll go GH6. I can do it actually using the simulator. I can find out what kind of camera it is. I mean, I can do anything, but it might take a little time, too. EOS. Where is it? Yeah, I want to get to the GH. Well, I have to get into the letters. No, that's not them. That's not they. Okay, I'm working on it. Can't find the GH series. It's DC. Doesn't it start with DC? Apparently not. It's EOS. Is it Canon that makes the GH? Maybe it's not even Canon. Maybe it's not Canon. Let's see who makes it. Let's look it up for the GH6. Oh, it's Panasonic, right? Okay, of course. Yeah, it's Panasonic. So I believe. Yeah, I believe it. It's a micro four. Now that I know that, I believe it's micro four thirds. Yeah, but anyway, let's go Panasonic. Because I've already got a Panasonic camera too, I'd be able to be brand loyal. It gives you a lot more confidence in what you're doing if you're brand loyal, because you know that you've been with that manufacturer. So the GH5 is basically the same camera, the Panasonic Lumix DC GH5. It gives me a certain look at. In 20, it's a micro four thirds, and the way I know that is if I look at 0.6 or 0.7, whatever it is, 60 centimeters, 0.6 meters distance from the subject, gives me a head and shoulders in the shot with a 25 millimeter lens. It's equivalent to about a 50 millimeter lens of the full frame cameras, like the Sony full frame camera, which is called the Sony. What's it called? I know where it is. I'm going to go there. But anyway, so I believe this is a micro four thirds. I know that from the way that the shot looks at 25 millimeters. It looks like head and shoulders in the shot at 60 centimeters from the subject. So I know, I can tell you right now, I know that because I've done some work with the simulator, I know that's micro four thirds. If I go to Sony, select the camera model, it's the Alpha 7R4, that one. That I have to go to 50 to get the same shot. I go to 50 millimeters, I have roughly the same shot. So it's basically you need a lens with half of the focal length if you're with micro four thirds, because it's closer to the digital film, the lens is, and the sensor is smaller. Now maybe they're good in. I haven't even had time to investigate the low light performance of these micro four thirds cameras at all. I don't know what they're like. Oh, what's that? I just changed the aperture, which I don't need to change. I'm not looking at aperture right now. Okay, I know I've got 60. Panasonic. Well, I have to select the camera. When I select the GH5, there it is. Yeah, it gives me head and shoulders. So I know what the micro four thirds are like in terms of what the shot will look like for a given lens, and I can buy a lens that comes with it, made by the same manufacturer, or made by Panasonic. It's their lens. It might be called a different name, like it's Leica or something instead of Lumix, which is their camera name. The lens, the brand for the lens has got a different name, but it's still made by Panasonic. They just rename their lenses something different from their cameras. And then there's Olympus. What are the Panasonic lenses called? Yeah, Panasonic lenses. I mean, it's Lumix. Okay, let's say who makes Leica? Oh. Maybe not. Okay, wh what are the Panasonic lenses called? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, you can buy a Panasonic camera or any manufacturer camera. You can usually buy it with a lens made by the same manufacturer. What are the Panasonic lenses called? It's Leica. You wouldn't know that when you do the research on Leica. It's not that easy to find out. No, I thought they were Leica. Anyway, but then Olympus, let's say, what are the Olympus lenses called? And they're called Zuiko. So there's another name for the Olympus lenses too. So every manufacturer, well, the Canon lenses, their lenses are called Canon, aren't they? I don't think they have a different name for their lenses. But some of the manufacturers have different names for their lenses. So that's something that is good to know. I need to figure out, I can buy a 12 millimeter up to like the Panasonic camera I was looking at, which I don't have it here anymore. I mean, I don't want to change my shot of the, I don't want to change my screen. So I'm going to look up, let's look up the Panasonic GH6, which is the next, it's the newer version of the GH5. So here we go. It comes with a lens. It's for $3,400 roughly dollars. $3,390. There it is. Comes with a lens. Okay, it comes with a 12 to 60 millimeter lens. So 60 millimeters. If I plug that into the simulator, let's plug the 12 in first of all. The 12 millimeter focal length gives me a shot from my belly button almost to the top of my head from 60 centimeters away. That's about the distance where I want to put the camera, right in front of me, 60 centimeters away. So if I go up to 60 millimeters for the telephoto maximum focal length for that lens, it goes up to 60, that will get basically about 3/4 of my face. It can't get the full height of my head into the shot at 60 centimeters for that lens, because it's equivalent to 120 millimeters with a full frame camera, roughly that. So that's what that's talking about. Wait, we got too much brightness here, or is it? Anyway, yeah, I found out, one thing I learned was, maybe I can, well, I'll just keep that open. One thing I learned when I was researching, when I was making the videos, when I've been making videos, is if I put anything on the screen that's my full, if I put my face fully filling this, in the screenshot that I'm taking now, if I put my face, if I make my face fill the frame, it takes a lot more memory, a lot more storage. I mean, to store the video file will be much larger, so it's better if I just keep a fixed background of the text or something. So, it makes 400 megabyte file compared to 1.2 gigabytes or something. You know, the difference is huge. So, it's like half, or maybe about half, or maybe a little better than half. So I want to keep the size of the files down. So for me to buy an expensive camera doesn't make a lot of sense right now. I can't justify it, but it would be nice to have a better camera. I can't justify not just the expense, but you have to have more lithium ion batteries. I just found a new video somewhere online, a YouTube video by a gentleman who's saying that electric cars are never going to be as possible. It's not as easy to own them. You can't own them because the manufacturer has more. It's going to be more subscription based and all of this kind of thing, or more. The manufacturer will have more control over the electric cars than they did over the combustion cars. That's what he's saying. And I never really thought about that, so I'll have to think about that and research. In my future research, I will think about it. I'm not really that interested in electric cars for different reasons, other than that they're not as environmentally friendly as they claim to be, for one thing, although they have the potential to be more environmentally friendly, but they're not. And the other thing is, they're more... I'm trying to think they're a lot more expensive for one thing. They take too long to charge. There's a lot of reasons why they're not as good. rodents like them, like rats like to chew the wires. I don't like the idea of, in a lot of ways, of electric cars. There are a lot of good things about them. I believe also that they're a great thing. They're really reliable. Like that's the potentially great thing about them. And the electricity doesn't cost as much as gasoline. That might change, but that's some of the advantages. But anyway, there are a lot of advantages to electric cars, but there just aren't as many as we might be led to believe. Oh yeah, I had a video. No, I stopped the video already, and it started on its own. That's the kind of thing that's going on here. I have a video. I'm gonna try and find it here. I want to show this video. Borelli Legrand and Yosho Stefan playing Hungaria. That one. That's it there, I think. Yeah, but that's not even the one I want. Okay. That's probably it right there. Yeah, it's on Yosho Stefan's channel on YouTube. That's the one I want. So, okay, so I'll do that. I'll just put that. Anyway, I'll copy this. I have the video. I'd like to play it. But let's do our study. What else have I learned since yesterday? I've done a lot of things. I'm learning a lot of things about cameras right now. So I'm just updating my knowledge of cameras, and then when eventually they bring the technology into a form where I can use it for a reasonable price, then I'll possibly get into it. But it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's better to buy a phone because it does something else besides. I can run apps, right? I can run the apps, so I can use my VoIP numbers on it. Oh yeah, you know what I did? My VoIP number that I have, it's in Arizona actually, but I have this phone number that I run an app. And I get a free phone. It's a free. I got the number for free, but I run an app on my phone called Text Now. But I can also use the same app on another computer, like on my iPad, for example. That's the one on which I have that phone number. I installed the app on both the phone and the iPad, but on the iPad, I installed the Arizona phone number. It's connected to an email account. So the email account for the iPad, it was not for the iPad, but just my email account. One of my email accounts is connected to the iPad to get this phone number in Arizona, and my phone has another number in Canada. So I wanted to have the ability to check my phone messages on my computer, and now that Apple has switched over to Apple Silicon, I can run the iOS programs on the Mac. So I'm running the same app that I run on the iPad and the iPhone. I'm running that app, Text Now, on the Mac. I'm running it on my it's a laptop. On all these four screens, I could put, my five screen, my five monitors that I have connected to the laptop. That includes the laptop monitor. So I've got the ability to drag this thing around anywhere on the screen if I want it, but it just pops up every time I reboot. My text messages come up. So, but I, because I can, you can connect up to your account on any device, so I can have the same phone number working on any number of devices. It's voice over internet protocol, right? VoIP. And it's quite reliable. It works well. It's free. That's the best part of it. It's free. And I've got two numbers because I have two emails. If I had another email, I could get a lot more free email somewhere, I'm sure. But if I had another email, I could have another phone number, but two is enough. Plus I have my cell phone number, so I've got three phone numbers at least. Plus I have my landline. I've got my landline phone. I've got four phone numbers, but I don't use my landline phone for incoming calls. So nope, it's no point trying to call me on that phone. But I call out on that phone. So and I don't have any long distance plans for that phone. I have a long distance plan on my cell phone. I believe that's Canada and the US, and the VoIP number, that's free to call. At least it's not free to make phone calls outside of the Canada and the US, outside of Canada and the US, but you can make text messages anywhere in the world, or hundreds of countries, I think. I can send text messages for free over VoIP. I can, to a lot of countries in Europe, or all over the world, basically. Like Romania, I could send a text message for free to Romania over VoIP. I'm not sure if I know how to use their phone system, because it's got different digits. The country codes are different. All the stuff is different, but I've got all these different. I can do that with this free app. It has free text messages. You pay something for long distance, but the long distance is cheaper to these countries too than it would be going over a standard cell phone network. It's much cheaper over the internet. So you can do long distance phone calls, but it costs something to go outside Canada and the U.S. It's free in Canada and the U.S., so I was able to call California and talk to Apple for free on my VoIP, and the connection was flawless, and I talked to tech support in Apple. I just did that so I could talk to them to test it out. I didn't need tech support. Well, I guess I wanted to talk to them about what I'd been doing and thinking about with the IMAX that I bought 10 years ago. So I did that a while ago when I first got the VoIP. I tested it out to see that it works. I called Apple in California and talked to them directly over VoIP, and they couldn't tell the difference in quality. The young person I talked to, I think she was pretty young. She said it was sounded like very good voice quality and everything. So we had a good conversation too, over VoIP. So it looks like this, VoIP is really the way of the future, I believe, for telephones and things. It's the cell phone network is, they claim it's reliable. Because if the internet's very busy, you might not be able to get through on the internet. It's not as reliable as what they say. The cell phone network is supposed to be more reliable, but it also costs more money. So, the internet's free. The VoIP is free. It's just an app, a free app. So I get some advertisements in the app in order to get the free version of it, but it's still free. So I like it. It's called Text Now, but I know there are other apps, but the Text Now was the best one that I could have gotten at the time I got it. And it's still working. You have to update you have to send a message occasionally to keep the number. You can lose your phone number if you don't use it. That's something to be aware of. So, but it reminds you. The app sends you reminders that you're going to lose your phone number if you don't use it. So it keeps reminding you. So you're not really in danger of losing it very much. So I've got the same two phone numbers I started with that. I wanted to update that. So now I've got that ability to get my text messages right here. Where's my text message app? It's called Messages, right? Yeah, there it is. So if I pop it up, what happened? What's that? What was that? Oh, was that my text messages? That is my text messages that popped up. Right. That's no good. Now I might have to edit that out. That's not supposed to pop up like that. I guess it was because I was on that screen. What are those numbers? Oh no. It's possible that none of these numbers are numbers that I use. Yeah, That is bizarre, isn't it? That's bizarre. None of the numbers that came up on that screen are numbers that I use. So far, I haven't seen any yet. None of these numbers have popped up, or phone numbers, or any other number that I use. It sent me some codes that were temporary codes for access for the Apple ID, but there's nothing in those aren't important either. There's nothing here that's actually an important number. I don't. There's nobody that I know either. Like, none of these numbers are anybody that I know. So they're messages that are spam, I guess. Yeah, isn't that weird? That's. I mean, that's. It's good because I don't have to edit the. Thank Jehovah, I don't have to edit that. That would be amazing if I. It would be terrible if I had to edit this because of that. But those are my message. That's not right. That's messages. Yeah, by the way, those are just my standard messages. So that's not the app that I was trying to open up. Oh, I know what I want to open up is Text Now. So I'm going to have to make sure that this doesn't pop up. Let's see. It's the Text Now app. That's what I want to pop up. There it is. I'm going to just pray that it doesn't pop up on my main screen here. Where is it? There it is. Pops up in the center of my central screen, not on my other screen. It takes a while to log in. There it is. See, I haven't got any new messages. It normally, I thought it started up every time I reboot, but it didn't do that. But I can check my messages now on my main computer for that phone number that's on my iPad. Very, very useful feature. So let's get into the study, shall we, little children? Let's do this. To the director upon the gittith, a melody of David, Psalm 8. O Jehovah our Lord, how majestic your name is in all the earth, you whose dignity is recounted above the heavens. Out of the mouth of children and sucklings you have founded strength on account of those showing hostility to you, so as to make the enemy and the one taking his vengeance desist. When I see your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon, excuse me, and the stars that you have prepared, what is mortal man that you keep him in mind, and the son of earthling man that you take care of him? You also proceeded to make him a little less than godlike ones, and with glory and splendor you then crowned him. You make him dominate over the works of your hands. Everything you have put under his feet, small cattle and oxen, all of them, and also the beasts of the open field, the birds of heaven, and the fish of the sea, anything passing through the paths of the seas. O Jehovah our Lord, how majestic your name is in all the earth. So that's an interesting psalm, Psalm 8, very short. But the idea here is God is commissioned. What's the word? We could say appointed to dominate over the creation of all the animals, over the earth. Man is put in charge by God. That's one of the ideas, one of the main ideas there. The other idea is a very interesting one also, is that out of the mouth of children and sucklings, Jehovah has founded strength. And that's something Jesus said too. Something that Jesus quoted from Psalm 8. So let's go to Ecclesiastes now. Chapter 8. Who is there like the wise one? And who is there knowing the interpretation of a thing? The wisdom of a man itself causes his face to shine, and even the sternness of his face is changed for the better. I say, keep the very order of the king, and that out of regard for the oath of God. Do not hurry yourself, that you may go out from before him. Do not stand in a bad thing, for all that he delights to do, he will do. Because the word of the king is the power of control, and who may say to him, what are you doing? He that is keeping the commandment will not know any calamitous thing, and the wise heart will know both time and judgment. For there exists a time and judgment even for every affair, because the calamity of mankind is abundant upon them. For there is no one knowing what will come to be, because who can tell him just how it will come to be? There is no man having power over the spirit to restrain the spirit, neither is there any power of control in the day of death, nor is there any discharge in the war, and wickedness will provide no escape for those indulging in it. All this I have seen, and there was an applying of my heart to every work that has been done under the sun during the time that man has dominated man to his injury. But though this is so, I have seen the wicked ones being buried, how they came in, and how they would go away from the holy place itself and be forgotten in the city where they acted that way. This too is vanity, because sentence against a bad work has not been executed speedily. That is why the heart of the sons of men has become fully set in them to do bad. Although a sinner may be doing bad 100 times and continuing a long time as he pleases, yet I am also aware that it will turn out well with those fearing the true God, because they were in fear of him. But it will not turn out well at all with the wicked one. Neither will he prolong his days that are like a shadow, because he is not in fear of God. There exists a vanity that is carried out on the earth, that there exist righteous ones to whom it is happening as if for the work of the wicked ones, and there exist wicked ones to whom it is happening as if for the work of the righteous ones. I said that this too is vanity. And I myself commended rejoicing, because mankind have nothing better under the sun than to eat and drink and rejoice, and that it should accompany them in their hard work for the days of their life which the true God has given them under the sun. In accord with this, I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the occupation that is carried on in the earth. Because there is one seeing no sleep with his eyes, either by day or by night. And I saw all the work of the true God, how mankind are not able to find out the work that has been done under the sun. However much mankind keep working hard to seek, yet they do not find out. And even if they should say they are wise enough to know, they would be unable to find out. That was Ecclesiastes 8. I got very itchy. My nose got itchy during that, but then it went away. I was able to resist scratching. But it's not very itchy now, but I feel like I should scratch anyway. So that's our basic study for the day. You know, I'm not reviewing these. I'm not reviewing, not previewing, nothing. I just read them, both the Psalm and the Ecclesiastes. But I've read these before, not out loud necessarily at all, but I've read them before, so I know what they say. It's all recorded somewhere inside my head. I know what I've basically memorized it, because my soul was crying out so much for these principles that when I got them in there, when I read them to myself, I got them embedded inside my heart and my soul and my mind, and they're deeply in there. I know what they say. I know what they are. I know what this translation is. I basically memorized it more than memorized it. But I have memorized it, although it's not something I recite verbatim, except maybe one verse at a time. And even then, I might not have it entirely exact. But, you know, accurate as far as the essential meaning. I have them memorized. So, and it's more true of Ecclesiastes that it's more amenable to memorization, because they're principles that really roll off the tongue, or they really sit deeply inside the intellect, and you can memorize the principle. Whereas with Psalms, you remember them as well, but they're not quite as fundamental. They're more the prayer of David praying, or something, you know, one of the psalmists praying to God and revealing his heart to God and that sort of thing in the Psalms. It's not the same as these universal principles that are contained in Ecclesiastes. But one of the things I wanted to talk about also is, I wanted to look at Matthew chapter 6, because we started with the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. We didn't get to chapter 6 yet. So maybe we should read that today as well. I think we should, because it's very valuable, first of all. And one of the things it does is it teaches us how to pray. So let's pray first to Jehovah to ask for guidance. Jehovah, help us and give us guidance in the way that we need to apply ourselves to the reading of the text of Matthew chapter 6. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus was speaking and said this. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he said. Take good care not to practice your righteousness in front of men in order to be observed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in the heavens. Hence, when you go making gifts of mercy, do not blow a trumpet ahead of you, just as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be glorified by men. Truly, I say to you, they are having their reward in full. But you, when making gifts of mercy, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, that your gifts of mercy may be in secret. Then your Father who is looking on in secret will repay you. Also, when you pray, you must not be as the hypocrites, because they like to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the broad ways to be visible to men. Truly, I say to you, they are having their reward in full. You, however, when you pray, go into your private room, and after shutting your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Then your Father who looks on in secret will repay you. But when praying, do not say the same things over and over again, just as the people of the nations do, for they imagine they will get a hearing for their use of many words. So do not make yourselves like them, for God your Father knows what things you are needing before ever you ask him. You must pray then this way. Our Father in the heavens, let your name be sanctified. Let your kingdom come. Let your will take place, as in heaven, also upon earth. Give us today our bread for this day, and forgive us our debts, or trespasses, as some people say, but in this translation, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the wicked one. That's the end of the quote about how we should pray. Then Jesus goes on in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Whereas, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When you are fasting, stop becoming sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Truly I say to you, they are having their reward in full. But you, when fasting, grease your head and wash your face, that you may appear to be fasting not to men, but to your Father who is in secrecy. Then your Father who is looking on in secrecy will repay you. Stop storing up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. Rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If then your eye is simple, your whole body will be bright. But if your eye is wicked, your whole body will be dark. If in reality the light that is in you is darkness, how great that darkness is. No one can slave for two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stick to the one and despise the other. You cannot slave for God and for riches. On this account I say to you, stop being anxious about your souls, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your bodies as to what you will wear. Does not the soul mean more than food, and the body than clothing? Observe intently the birds of heaven, because they do not sow seed or reap or gather into storehouses. Still your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they are? Who of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his lifespan? Also, on the matter of clothing, why are you anxious? Take a lesson from the lilies of the field, how they are growing. They do not toil, nor do they spin, but I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. If now God thus clothes the vegetation of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, Will he not much rather clothe you, you with little faith? So never be anxious and say, what are we to eat, or what are we to drink, or what are we to put on? For all these are the things the nations are eagerly pursuing, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Keep on, then, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So never be anxious about the next day, for the next day will have its own anxieties. Sufficient for each day is its own badness. And that's the end of chapter 6 of Matthew. One of the important points in this chapter, I believe, is verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. All the verses are important. But it says, if then, in verse 22, your eye is simple, your whole body will be bright. Right? And then verse 23, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great that darkness is. In verse 24, you cannot slave for God and for riches. So it's not keeping things simple if we're concerned about money and also about Jehovah. If we're trying to do both, we need to just put the kingdom first. As Jesus said in verse 33, keep on then seeking first the kingdom. And the other things will be added to us, is what he said. So we can just concentrate on seeking Jehovah and learning from Jehovah about how to be better spiritually, how to be stronger and happier, because spirituality brings happiness to us. And understanding of things comes through spirituality. Understanding motivations and understanding everything through fear of Jehovah. These are things that are more beneficial than money can ever be. These other things can be added to us. We can receive money, you know, as an additional thing, but we shouldn't be pursuing money. That's the idea. So there we go. That's Matthew chapter 6. So have I talked about everything so far? I mean, I can't think of anything else. Oh, Hungary. Let's get Hungary. It's absolutely something I want to share. So I need to get the browser window, first of all. I need to find a way to get... I'm just going to drag this tab, I think, if I can. Where is it? Oh, I don't even have it open yet. Okay, so let's open that. Open the tab and pause the video. Pause the video. Stop. Let's get it and drag it down here. Jehovah, come on here. Help me, please. Is it going to fill the screen? Kind of. It got the other browser, Amazon window, open for a moment there, too. What is in that window? I'm not sure, but let's just zero this. Start again. Let's maximize. Do we want to maximize it, maybe. But that means I need to resize my... Yeah, let's resize. Like that. And let's go. Let's play it. This is Borelli Legrand and Yosho Stefan, Hungary. Thank you. Okay, that was amazing. We're going to just close that. Now I'm looking at, yeah, I actually had this page open in the browser. We can look at this now that we got it open, because it opened up when I clicked on the browser, I guess. Once I got the Safari focus, it came up. Because this window is always located here underneath the library app, so it's just always there. So I can just click on it, and what happened there? Oh, it's okay. It's all right. But because I clicked on the browser, I lost my OBS Studio. There we go. I couldn't see it, but you can see everything, I'm sure, or I believe. So look at this. This is one possible camera I could buy, but I haven't researched it enough. But it's not a portable size. Like, it's not a small. It's a box camera. It's not a handheld type. Or it can be handheld, but it's not, like here, if you see, it's sort of bulky. It's a bulky camera. You know, it's designed for maybe tripod mounting, and it's not really intended. It's not the easiest camera for holding in your hand. You can use it with a drone, possibly, but I mean, that would be risky because it's a $2,500 camera, but you've got all these different features of the camera. What can it do? You can hook it to Lumix Tether, but that the problem with the new new feature of these cameras. Panasonic has added the idea of a tether, a piece of software called Tether, and that enables you to use a camera as a webcam, but it only works with older versions of Mac OS, because the version I'm running is about two versions too recent. Like, I'm running version 12 of Mac OS Monterey. These programs they work with the Tether program. I'm trying to think, what version does it work with? At one point, I had actually found the place where you download it, I thought. But when I delved further, I can't find out where I can download it. Like, there's no, the links are broken, or they don't even show up as links. I can't click on it, because I think it's because it's not available for my operating system. That's why I can't click on it. So I can't download the software for using it as a webcam. So I'm in the process of researching it. This is just a preliminary phase of research. I haven't really tried for more than about, I just done about one day's research or something like that on this subject of trying to find the best cinema camera. Once I decided I want a cinema camera, then I just eliminate all the cameras that cannot record continuously. At least those ones I want to eliminate. I don't want to have to be limited to be recording only 30 minutes of video. I don't want to be limited like that. Because then I'd be interrupted if I do 40 minutes. So, and I'd have to do editing instead of doing a live presentation. So I'm looking for these continuous recording machines. You know, they're called cinema cameras. Not cinnamon, but cinema. So, cinnamon's a spice, for those of you who have not heard of it, if you're in a different country and speak a different language. But cinema is where we watch movies. That's what that is. So these cameras are meant to shoot video of virtually any length that you can store on a video card. So you've got on a storage medium, like an SD card. Now, some of these cameras that you can get, the GH6 comes with two slots for SD cards, so you can put in two separate SD cards, like two cards, each of which can be 128 gigs, so you can have 256 gigs, and you can set it up so that when it runs out of space on the first card, it continues on the second card. You can do that, so you could get more than. So you might be able to get 3 hours of video on 128 gigs. I was researching that. Something like, you can get a lot more than 3 hours if you're recording at a more reasonable, bit. depth or whatever. If it's not 10 bits, then you possibly can record 8 hours of video on 128 gigs, or maybe obviously more than that if you're not recording 4K too. I think, depending on what you're recording, you could have many hours on 128 gigs. So I've got a 128 gig SD card already, and because I got it for my old Panasonic TM900, which was compatible with it miraculously. I mean, amazingly, because I bought it. When I bought it, I couldn't get a card. They didn't even make cards that were that large capacity. And yet, the camera that I bought at that time is compatible with these cards. So that's rather miraculous. I've seen so many cases where I bought technology, and later on, it was completely useless because I couldn't use. You know, it just didn't have the capability, you know, after it became obsolete. But this is obsolete, obviously, but it's pretty obsolete, but it's usable, but it also can use the high capacity SD card. So it's quite a great achievement, technologically speaking, but it's also somewhat of a miracle. If someone wasn't planning for it. I didn't plan for that. I didn't have any knowledge that that would happen. So it's quite amazing. But I do try my best to keep up to date with knowledge. Now, but when I bought that video camera, I didn't have. I bought it as a used. It was used. It was a used camera that someone had used at a wedding. I bought it from what they now call Best Buy. It used to be called Future Shop. That's where I bought that camera, and I bought it. You know, for a lower amount of money because a lower price because it was used, so that's why I bought it. I didn't do any research. I didn't know anything about why I would buy that camera. So that was an exception to the rule of me researching everything. But if I'm buying something brand new, and like I usually do, but I guess I didn't think I could afford to buy a brand new camera. That's why I did it that way. When I went to the store to shop. I found one, and I bought one. At that, on the same visit. So I didn't do any research. I trusted the salesperson, and yeah, I think she was female. I think it was a young girl that I. I mean, a reasonably young person, whether she was a student or whatever, I don't know. I don't remember or don't know. But I remember being guided by somebody at the store, and that's what made me... someone who knew enough about it was able to... they didn't have to convince me. I was already sold. I was sold on it quite easily. But anyway, I bought that old video camera, and now I'm looking at getting a new one, but it doesn't have to be Panasonic. I just think Panasonic actually do make some equipment that is very much what I'm looking for, so it's possible I could go that route. But if I, you know, I have to find out why I can't get the tether program anyway, why I can't do that, because that's what's causing me to hesitate even more so. But also, it's a big price. I figured out I'm earning right now $3,065 a month. That's not after tax, though, is it? No, but it's still a good part of it's after tax, I guess. But some of it is after tax. But the thing is, after expenses, I'm about $1,500 or $1,600 net. After expenses, so I'm about $1,600 a month that I could save up every month. Right now, I've got to order some supplements. I need some more K2 and things. I got to order, update my supplement stock. But that's good. So even though I might have $500 surplus right now after expenses for this month, I'm not sure how much I have. But it might be about $500. I'm going to have to spend some of that on supplements and groceries. No, not on groceries, because that's included in my expenses. But I might have a bit of extra money this month, but if I don't buy anything. But the end of the month, I'll have another $1,500. But more than that, I'll be going Yeah, November is going to be changing. I'll be getting $524 additional dollars, $523 additional dollars for my new annuity, which is not tax-free. So it'll really be, effectively, it's only $400. So let's consider it as $400. So let's say $400 plus $3,065 is $3,465. Sorry, subtract the expenses. Instead of $1,500 net, I've got to add $400. So right, maybe we could even say $500, make it a round number. So I'm going to be earning about $2,000 net starting November 1st, or around November 1st. I'll give it, in the beginning of November, I'll have $2,000 in addition to whatever cash I've saved between now and then. So, but I've got some savings in the bank. I just don't want to spend it. But I'm talking about money that's my cash flow. I'll have $2,000 each month. So November, December, that's $4,000. If I save and don't spend my surplus. So I could buy a $4,000. I could buy this $2,500 camera, but I'd need a lens, and lenses cost thousands of dollars. So if it's a good lens, they can easily. So I mean, it's not like I can just buy this camera without a lens. But if, I mean, it's something like between, you know, it's probably, to get a camera this good, it's something like between $5,000 and $10,000 with all the other gear that you get with it. You need to buy the SD cards, the maybe a gimbal, or maybe a tripod, etc., 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 a frame to carry the camera, you know, all sorts of things to hold the camera. I might need a microphone. I don't know. I think I've got enough microphones from the studio that I could use. So I shouldn't need a microphone, but I'll need to figure everything out too. So, but I don't really want to necessarily buy a camera. I'm just saying, if I wanted to, I can see my way to doing it. If I have 3 months, if I can include November, December, January, then I can save up about $6,000 in that time period. That's my budget. That's my budget. I might need to buy something, so I might want to save some of that money and not spend it. I might need to get a new appliance or something. I hope that music wasn't too loud. One thing I did was I turned the bass down all the way on the amplifier. I turned my bass to zero. So, because these speakers, the Bose 201s, are so bassy that it's just ridiculous how much bass there is. So it was distorting wildly in the microphone when I was recording it before. So I've fixed that problem, and it still sounds reasonably normal. It's just the bass is so excessive on those speakers. But I like listening to the bass. It's just, if you jack up the bass on your system, I'm sure you're going to have enough bass. Or if your speakers are very bassy, I'm sure it'll sound plenty bassy enough. Because I've listened to it, played back on those speakers. I know what it sounds like. It sounds plenty bassy. If I were to boost the bass on these speakers, I think it would be probably like it normally is. It would be a lot of bass. But anyway, this is Ward Green. It is October 8th, 2022. It is 16:58 hours. I hope you're doing very well. I am thinking of you. I'm always glad to talk to you. I appreciate knowing that you're doing well and that things are going well for you. I wanted to say thanks for watching, and have a wonderful day. I think that's about everything. And, you know, bye for now.